Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
No limits on endurance, no limits on strength, no problems with range of motion or length of limbs, because you know what? There's not going to be any amputees in heaven. No more nursing homes, no more assisted living facilities.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern-day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
Well, you can take me out to the graveyard, and you can lay this old body down, but on that first resurrection morning, well, I'm gonna come up, come up, come up. I'm gonna come up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. There ain't no grave. Oh, I'm gonna hold my body down when I hear that trumpet sound. Oh, I'm gonna come up, come up, come up. I'm gonna come up out of the ground. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Woo! Truth seekers, there's coming a day when saints will rise. When saints will rise. I hope you've been with us for the previous 3 weeks. This is the fourth week, the fourth installment of a teaching series that I've entitled The Return of the King. And we're teaching out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18 or 19, through 18. We're talking about the rapture of the church. We're talking about the moment that Paul lays out for us in these few verses, when Jesus Christ Himself will return, not all the way to the ground, but will return somewhere up in the air and will call His bride to His side. Paul writes, in beginning in verse 13, he says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope." Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so," or "in the same way, God will bring with Him those who sleep in Christ Jesus." Verse 15, "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord." See, that's important, church. This isn't Paul's word to the church. This isn't an apostle's word. He is repeating what he's heard from the Lord. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." The first week that I began to introduce this teaching, I told you what Paul was after with those first three verses right there. He was wanting to just very quickly answer a very heavy question that the church in Thessalonica was struggling with. You see, Paul had been kicked out of Thessalonica, kicked out of Berea, and he didn't get a chance to finish his discipleship, his apostleship over this brand new church. There were questions he didn't get to answer. And one of the major questions that came up in the time after he was kicked out of town, there were some saints of God in the church that passed away. Now, the church believed that Jesus died, that He resurrected from the dead, And that's why Paul said that in verse 14, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And he goes on to give the explanation that they needed. They not only believed in the death and the resurrection, they believed in the return of Christ. Paul had been teaching that. They had gotten to the place where they understood that he was coming again to get them. But Paul did not get a chance to explain what happened to those who already died before he came back. And some folks in the church died, some believers, people they knew that belonged to Christ. And now they were wondering, okay, they're dead and gone. What happens if Jesus comes now for us? What will happen to those we love so much? And Paul goes on to tell them in verse 14, even so, in the same way, just like Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he says, even so, God will bring with him, that's capital H, him, that's Jesus, those who sleep in Jesus. Paul answers the question right there in verse 14. He underlines it in verse 15. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, until his return to get the church, we will by no means precede those who are asleep. Paul answers their question. He assuages their fears. He calms the struggle with this heavy burden that they were experiencing. He lets them know, just like Jesus resurrected, so will those that we have lost temporarily, momentarily. In fact, he wouldn't even say they were dead. He said they were asleep. Why? Because sleep is temporary. If you want more detail on those verses, go back to the first installment of this teaching series. Go to truthinfusion.com. Look on the radio page. All of this will be lined up for you. Listen to these one time, 10 times. Hey, it's free. Send it to someone that you know is struggling with the idea of death. Brand new Christian that may have the question about what happens when I die. Send this to them. It's great teaching, and it's not a bunch of opinion. We're going through this one verse at a time. So in the verse, in part two and part three, we did part three last week, began to see that Paul did not leave it with just bluntly answering the question. He began to give us great detail about what will exactly happen when this day occurs. And it's amazing. It's exciting. It's mind-blowing, the detail that we get. He says in verse 16, for the Lord himself, Jesus will descend from heaven with a shout. And I told you a couple of weeks ago, this is a shout of excitement. Christ is excited to come back and get the church. He's anxious. He's awaiting to see his bride, those he died for. He's ready to see us clothed in his righteousness and his glory, glorified. And standing before him, face to face, eye to eye. John said in 1 John that one of these days we will be like him. We will see him as he is. And Paul wants us to know there's going to be some amazing sounds to hear on the day that this takes place. For the Lord will descend with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. And the last of verse 16 is what we ended with last week. And it said, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And I tried to get you to understand by explaining one simple Greek word, that this is a very literal and real resurrection. It's not figurative. It's not some mystical spiritual thing. It's very spiritual, but it's going to be very physical too, because they're going to be resurrected with a body like Jesus had when he showed up to the disciples that 40 days after his resurrection, and over 500 people, Paul said, saw him, and they were able to be with him and eat with him and walk with him and talk with him. And he had a very real body. It was physical, but it wasn't limited by the flesh that we dwell in, because it was glorified. And the Greek word for resurrection is anastasis. It literally means to stand up again. So do I believe they're going to really stand up again? You better believe it. They will stand up again. They will pop the dust off of those glowing, brilliantly white robes, and we will join with them to rise together in the air. So far we've talked about two major points to the fantastic event of this resurrection, this rapture day, this rapture moment. We said there are going to be sounds to hear. Shout of the Lord, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. There's going to be a sight to see. I don't know how else to say that. If you're driving by the cemetery, You hear the shout out your window, and you look over, and saints are popping up out the ground. Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. That's going to be a sight to see. So let's continue on in this teaching and see what else this brings out. Because also there's going to be a miracle to experience. Sounds to hear, sight to see, a miracle to experience. Now, in our passage here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the focus of this passage is explaining what will happen with those that are asleep in Christ, those that will rise from the dead in glorification. And he does mention those that are alive and remain, that we will join with them, that we will rise with them, that we will meet with him in the air with them. But it doesn't focus on us. Now, we're going to go to another passage of Scripture that speaks of the same moment, the same rapture moment, but in this passage, it more focuses not on those that are dead in Christ that rise again, but those that are alive and remain at the moment that the Christ returns from heaven with a shout of excitement, the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ rise. Now, what happens to us? Well, I said there's going to be a miracle to experience. And what a miracle this is going to be. So I'm going to take some time with the rest of the program today to really look at this miracle that will be experienced. I want to read for you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, if you're familiar with this chapter, it is all about resurrection. If there is a resurrection chapter in the Bible, and you're not specifically speaking of the resurrection of Christ, this is your chapter. I mean, Paul builds a case that is undeniable about the truth of resurrection, that it must be if we are to have a faith system that is valid at all. Resurrection must be. There is no resurrection. There is no hope. There is no Christianity. There was no Christ. We know that's not true. But not only does he build a case for the truth of resurrection, but he goes on to spend a lot of time talking about the resurrection of those that have died in Christ in great and really fantastic detail. And then he concludes the chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, by speaking of the final victory. So I want to read you a few verses, and then we want to spend some time talking about this miracle that will be experienced on the day of resurrection, on the day of rapture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to start in verse 15. Now just listen to the Scripture, to the Word of God, and then we'll give some thoughts about what this is saying. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Very simple what he's saying. The state that we're in right now, the type of fleshly being with the humanity, this fallen humanity. I've got one friend, a minister brother of mine, that calls this this body we live in our meat wrapper. This meat wrapper that we have around us, this temporary tent, this dwelling that we're in now is that of corruption. Our flesh is corrupted. We have a sin nature bent toward rebelling against God, that through the sanctification process, God is beating down and beating back as our faith in Christ allows the person of Christ to shine through us more and more all the time. But even at the end of Paul's days, he would say, I'm still in this flesh. And what Paul knew and what we can know through the Word is that the type of body that we exist in now cannot take hold of, experience, dwell in, abide in the perfection of God's presence and the incorruptible of the heavenlies that we're destined for. Something's got to change. And that's what Paul's going to go into right here in verse 51. He says, behold, I tell you a mystery. Now, when Paul speaks the word mystery several times in his writings, he will say that this is a mystery, or here's a mystery. When he uses this word mystery, the Greek word is that of something that was not understood in the past, but in the present day, post-cross, now that we have the Holy Spirit living us that leads us into all truth, now what was what was hidden in the past as a mystery is now being revealed to those that believe. And only those that believe can understand these mysteries. So here's Paul is saying, let me explain something that has been a mystery, but now doesn't have to be one. Here's the rest of verse 51. We shall not all sleep. He's letting us know that there will be many alive when Christ returns, but we shall all be changed. Whether we're asleep in Christ, that we have died in Christ, or we are still alive and well when He comes, no matter which state you're in, we shall all be changed. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, that sounds familiar, right? From 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible. That almost sounds almost word for word with what he said in verse 16 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's go on. And the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this corruptible, speaking of our flesh, of our bodies, must put on incorruption, something that will not decay, something that is not tied to sin in any way. And this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And then verse 58 to conclude the chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And what's Paul ultimately trying to tell us? There's a miracle that will be experienced when Christ returns for His church. Let me say it a different way. We're going to be changed. There is a changing that's coming. Corruption will become incorruption. Mortality will become immortality. We're going to be changed. We're going to be changed. Let's talk about that. Let's give you some more detail. How are we going to be changed, David? Well, first of all, we're going to be changed physically. You know, I'm a home health nurse. I've spent time as a hospice chaplain. I deal with on a regular basis the mortal body of man. It doesn't matter how well you take care of yourself, how well you eat, how much you exercise, there just comes a place and time when the body wears out. Slowly here, a little bit there, a little bit here, a little bit over there. You start to notice things changing. And what you used to be able to do and handle, you just can't do it like that anymore. This old body, one day though, will no longer be a hindrance. It's going to become a helper. It's no longer going to be an encumbrance. It's going to become an enabler. One day your body, if you belong to Jesus Christ, is not going to be a barrier anymore. It's going to become a benefit. It will no longer limit you. It's going to liberate you. As you are taken back and given the body that God originally intended for you to have, one that Jesus Christ walked out of that grave with. Let me put it this way. No more pain. No more stiffness. No more arthritis. No more cancer. No more diabetes. No more heart trouble. No more lung trouble. Somebody out there is saying, amen, come quickly, Lord. No more hearing loss. No more vision loss. Hey, guys, no more hair loss. Amen. No limits on endurance. No limits on strength. No problems with range of motion or length of limbs. Because you know what? There's not going to be any amputees in heaven. No more nursing homes. No more assisted living facilities. No more handicap parking. No more wheelchair ramps. No more bathtub transfer benches. Because you're going to be physically capable in all ways. Think about this when you think about a new body. No more chromosomal abnormalities. No more association for the mentally challenged. No more special needs classrooms. No more Special Olympics. Because they will be made whole, no longer limited by birth defect. That's going to be something else. But the change doesn't stop with our physical body. Even as much as Paul used the word body several times, it doesn't stop there. Because we will also be mentally and emotionally changed. And the effects of this unstable mind that we deal with will be done away with. The devastating results of unhinged emotions, anger outbursts, acting on jealousy, depression, these things will be, they will be a thing of the past. Can you imagine a world with no depression, no mood swings, no sad faces, no sour pusses, no sorry attitudes, no scroogey humbugs? Can you imagine a world with no abortion? I just read today and heard on the radio where Planned Parenthood has been caught red-handed. They have been found that they are taking these aborted babies and they are aborting them in such a way that they can harvest their organs and their internal parts to sell them on black markets and profit off of the internal organs of these murdered babies. One of these days, that will no longer cross our minds any longer, because the mind that would come up with such things will no longer exist. No more abortion, no more murder, no more euthanasia. No more voluntary suicide, no more forced suicides, no more terror suicides. Not even character suicides, societal suicide. No more. No more. God help us. Can you imagine a church with no more busybodies or nosy bodies or lazy bodies or poor, pitiful me complaining bodies? You know, preachers, pastors out there that are listening, I personally believe that there are going to be some people who are going to walk by in heaven, and for several days they're going to be sitting very quietly, not speaking. And the reason it's going to be is because they've spent their whole adult Christian life complaining and griping and going behind people's backs, and that's no longer allowed, and they just ain't even going to know what to say or do for a little while. I'm just kidding about that. But the point is, the mind and the emotions will be well and right and whole. Physically, we'll be changed. Mentally, we'll be changed. Emotionally, we'll be changed. But listen here. Change of all changes, we will be spiritually changed. Let me read you a fantastic verse out of 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, now, today, where we are right now, sitting behind this radio microphone, in your vehicle, wherever you are right now, driving, at home, at work, now we are children of God." But listen to what John says, "But it has not yet been revealed what we shall be." That's what Paul's talking about. When this corruption puts on incorruption and this mortal puts on immortality, it's not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know, oh, here it comes, when He is revealed on that resurrection morning, when He is revealed in the moment of the rapture, we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We will be spiritually changed. No more sin. No more curse. No more separation. No more self-consciousness. Adam looked at the fruit. When he looked at the fruit and held that fruit in his hand, he was standing before his wife in perfect God consciousness, with perfect understanding, relationship, communication with God Almighty through the person of the Holy Spirit, perfect God consciousness. But when he bit into the fruit and willingly, deliberately defied the law of God, perfect God consciousness left, and perfect self-consciousness became the way that Adam stood. And he passed that down generation to generation. Genesis chapter 5, says it like this. In that day that God created man, he made man in his likeness, in the likeness of God. Verse 2, he created them male and female and blessed them, called them mankind in the day that they were created. Watch this. And Adam lived 130 years, and he begot a son in his own likeness after his image, and named him Seth. You see what happened? Adam stands with a bite out of that fruit. Perfect God consciousness gone. Perfect self-consciousness abides, and he passed along a sin nature and perfect self-consciousness to Seth, Seth to his children, and his children, and his children, and his children, on down to us today. And my children were born in perfect self-consciousness because I passed to them that same sin nature that Adam passed down to me. But there's coming a day when we will finally, once again, have complete and perfect and true God consciousness. Original intent will reign supreme when we see him as he is. One of these days, we're going to be changed. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. My goodness, my goodness. What a miracle to experience. What a day this is going to be when my Jesus I will see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when I take him by the hand and he leads me through the promised land. What a day. What a glorious day that will be. The day that the King returns. There will be sounds to hear. There will be a sight to see. And there will be an amazing, unbelievable, complete, fulfilled miracle to experience. When self-consciousness is swallowed up in God consciousness and we are like Him. God bless you. Woo, come on back for one more episode, one more installment. Until next time, keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573. Or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.